Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right, we're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shadi, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys. So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the Home Buying Blueprint, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUNIVERSITY.com. See you there.
I want to turn pro in golf.
and I couldn't find any sponsors. So it was like, why not start a business and sponsor myself? Started being told no, and I wanted to turn pro. One thing led to another. Eastside Golf was born. Grew up in East Atlanta playing golf, but that transitioned to how the clothes look, Red Clay Collection. I used to take the bus to the actual golf course, and by the time I get to the Martyr bus stop, it's red clay mud all over my shoes. But it showed grit, determination, hard work that I was here to get it out the mud.
All right, guys, welcome back. Earn Your Leisure.
Yeah.
New York City. Back with our friends that we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, man. Reunited.
Reunited at last.
So good.
Yes. Earl and Olajuwon from Eastside Golf. So if you've been watching EYL, you know we interviewed them probably like 2 years ago.
2021.
About 2 years ago now.
August 21.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about their journey as far as revolutionizing the sport of golf when it comes to fashion and apparel. And swag all the way around, you know, having a collaboration with Jordan Brand and really taking off of sorts. And since then, they've been out of here. You know, they got the series, they got the new collection with Jordan, and they've been traveling all over the world, meeting with world leaders and influencers.
Driving the finest of cars.
For sure. Oh,
yeah. These guys, bro. I mean, people say that we're everywhere. But I mean, every time we go somewhere, you're there. So
most
I feel like
most of the time, we chasing y'all. That's the whole thing.
Throughout the world, though.
Yes,
we run into each other throughout the world.
This is true.
Had a good time in Paris.
Yeah. No. Before we get into that, though, we want to bless y'all with some gifts, real quick. Yeah,
they come bearing gifts.
We didn't come empty-handed.
That's why I like that.
We talked about, you know, the new collections and stuff on the way. So
the new collection is here.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh boy.
I think.
I appreciate it, brother. Sure. Thank you.
Collection.
1961. Very important. This is an Earn Your Leisure on it. Well, you know, this is a habit because well, you didn't give us anything last time, but you did make an appearance with DJ Khaled.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Miami.
He was on them shoes too.
Yeah.
He was like, yo, y'all got my shoes. Where are my shoes?
The first thing I went for was the sneakers. Shotty went for the clothes.
This is the hoodie.
That's the hoodie.
Yeah. Change collection, man.
Merch, I get the close up, please. Yeah, very important. 1961. We'll talk about the significance.
Yes.
You see that.
Quality. How's that fabric feel, man? That's not
the finest of fabrics. Come to this camera. Come to my camera, please. Let me talk about this right here.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
It's called Don't Play Yourself. If you didn't get them, don't call them. No, listen. Don't call them. These are our brothers. And they are men of their word. They told me, Troy, we got to add to your collection. The Fours is incredible. I put the ones on the golf course.
Yes, you did.
Those are incredible. And now we're back with the ones, 1961.
Yes.
This isn't just any leather, though.
That's that overpriced leather, right? Over budget.
This is the finest of leathers. Yo, this is an incredible shoe. This is an incredible shoe. Congrats on this, man.
This is the walk us through this shoe right here. Walk us through this whole entire masterpiece situation. What are we looking at right now?
Yeah. So it's a Jordan, Air Jordan 1. High golf shoe, has the extra treading under the bottom of the shoe just for extra treading when you're on the golf course. Also, Eastside Golf scripted all over the swoosh with the swingman on the tongue of the shoe. But most significantly is the name of the collection, is the Change Period 1961 collection. 1961 was the year that the PGA lifted their Caucasian-only clause. Mm. So prior, you know, nobody in this room could be a part of the PGA. But moving forward, you know, it wasn't to badger the PGA or make them look bad. It was more about, we know where we've been, so how can we be intentional on where we're going moving forward? You know, so just bringing light in towards history of golf, you know, Lee Elder, Charlie Sifford. I mean, all of these different guys that had such a monumental presence in the game of golf, of black golf at the time, what weren't given a fair chance. Now this is about shedding light on their careers. And honestly, as black folk, as diverse people, you know, showing that there's history to the game, mm-hmm. and what and how far we can actually go just because of the history, You know, so powerful, I mean, no, man, it's just,
yeah, I mean, it shows that y'all thankful. Y'all is not only active in the game, but y'all suited to the game, and y'all opening up the world of golf to a new demographic, right? Like, people saw the influx of people that came into this, the sport in the late 90s with Tiger, but now, I mean, it's booming, but y'all going to, from a historical standpoint, and y'all doing it through something that now everybody loves, right, which is sneakers, man. So it's incredible. Not to mention, it's probably on one of the most prestigious Jordans, the Jordan 1,
yeah,
which we shouldn't like take for light for granted. Or take very lightly. That's a trusted shoe in that brand. So that means how important you guys are to Nike and brand Jordan. So congrats, man.
Appreciate that.
Congratulations.
Bro.
Appreciate are these out?
These are out. We did a raffle system. You know, that was the only fair way to do it because, you know, it's still in the world of bots and all that stuff. So, you know, they are out in the world, out and about. But, you know, there's plenty of other product that's on our website, you know. Yeah. Got a lot of the gear, a lot of the
listen, what Earl's trying to say is, look, if you didn't get the sneakers, go buy a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Stop thinking like that. That's another way to support, man. Y'all should not even support. Y'all should want the merch. Just fly. Like, we can't front.
Yeah.
I told you when you walked in, oh, I said, look, most of the times we usually are wearing our merchandise, but I feel privileged to have this on because it means so much, man.
For sure.
So y'all should go out and get it as well.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Sure.
It's still assets over liabilities, though.
This is an asset.
Yes, exactly.
Sure. So, all right. So let's get into it. So, all right. So the last time that we met, right, a lot has happened from that time. So let's talk about this since we are looking at the shoes. So you talked about 1961 being a year that the PGA lifted its all-white ban, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is your newest collaboration with Jordan Brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
How has that Jordan Brand partnership been for you guys over the last 2-3 years? And what is the significance of the newest line outside of, you know, the 1961, but as far as like business is concerned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Partnership has been great, you know, with Jordan Brand. You know, we definitely want to keep going, definitely want to come up with some more shoes moving forward, but it's been great because they believed in us enough to give us a chance to tell the history. You know, not a lot of people get to tell actual facts and tell where we've been as a people and then tell where we are trying to go as a people. So, I mean, them actually doing that and taking the time out and sitting, I mean, we sat in that design room, you know, they said, well, what's the purpose of what you guys are trying to do? And I told them, well, we told them, change the game at the end of the day. It's something... It's finally here where golf can be taken advantage of and we can give the game to you guys, you know what I'm saying? And you guys can take advantage of it. You know, definitely spread your networks, you know, build your friendships and relationships up on the golf course and spend 5 hours with somebody. But that's, I mean, it's really powerful for diverse people to use the game of golf. So Jordan Brand giving us this platform or actually this collaboration to tell the story, it gives everybody else the power to do so much more. So no, it's been great so far. It's been great.
Over the past 2 years, the popularity of the brand has expedited. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, I see you guys everywhere, but more importantly, I see the brand everywhere, right? It sometimes you're watching social media and it doesn't have to do anything with golf, but the brand is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what that's done for you personally from a day-to-day about the busyness and now more the responsibilities and some of the lessons that you're learning as the brand grows.
Sure.
Nah, I think for me, it's definitely been a transition, right? Like you start to, I'm sure y'all get it now where too, it's like you go into Dwayne Reed and come outside, somebody's like, yo, Eastside Golf? And you're like, oh man, that's a huge generation, go get a smoothie. And yeah. So, I mean, within that, that's been something different, I think. You know, there's obviously a lot of sacrifices, and I hear you both mention that as far as like, you know, family functions and things that you want to be a part of. But, you know, it's a window, it's an opportunity that we, you know, just working really hard. And then prioritizing, because as you, you know, clearly articulated, we're everywhere, right? And so we still have a business to run, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, a lot of folks that we came in with are on our team, and it's like they're looking for guidance or they need answers or approval or all of those things. So it's like, while we're up here blowing the brand up and making sure we're in all the right rooms, at the same time, there's still a business and day-to-day operations that need to be ran. So it's all about time management, picking your spots. You know, I think we've done a really good job, but I would also say we do have an amazing team, you know, as well.
So, all right. So can you talk about, share some insight about some of the investors behind Eastside Golf and how have they contributed to the brand's growth?
No, I think we have a very strong cap table, you know, and they have been very helpful, you know, in the growth of the brand, whether it be, you know, guidance and things of that nature. But, you know, folks like, you know, Michael Strahan is an investor. He's been very helpful and just, you know, in connections. You also have, you know, folks like CC Sabathia, who it was just very organic, you know. So when it came time to raise funds, it was like, all right, well, let's go reach out to somebody that believes in the brand, been rocking with the brand for a while. And so, you know, there's quite a few other folks. We have some more, I would say, like institutional folks, or like Alan Smolinski. He's a minority owner of the LA Dodgers. And Alan is like someone that's very active and like always in our ear and challenging the way that we're thinking and saying, all right, okay, where are we at? Are we close to the profitability? You know, how are sales doing? Those sorts of things. And then lastly, but not least, I would say, you know, Steve Stout has been probably one of our most active investors.
Absolutely. Where,
you know, we got monthly calls with Steve. We can call him about anything, but he's really been hands-on and even like helping with like personnel. We're like, okay, cool. And, you know, working with translations and, you know, brand guidelines and just him understanding and seeing things blow up and just kind of as we, you know, navigate in those waters.
Yeah, you said a key word there when it was time to raise funds.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there's entrepreneurs who have businesses. When did y'all realize it was time for us to take in capital? Not because you necessarily needed it, but because you wanted to expand.
Yeah, we wanted to grow. Yeah. It was when we saw that we could come out with different, go in a different lane as far as collabs. Like we have an NBA licensing deal, MLB licensing deal, mm-hmm. and then coming out with a women's line in spring, you know, and even pushing towards accessories, like really getting that all the way dialed in, because not only do we have that, we have a PGA Tour partnership as well. So when we go into these actual merch tents at these PGA tournaments, we'd be able to afford it. We'd be able to afford the staff. We'd be able to grow our team and actually get all the things that we need. So we're not like shorthanded mm-hmm. when the time comes. I mean, because yeah, running through money, it can go fast.
Yeah.
It can go fast.
I would add too, it's like, you know, in the apparel business, you don't get paid. It's like really delayed, right? So you're making an investment now. You got to make an investment in the people, right? So if you want to design something, you got a whole production folks. Then it's a period of them actually producing the garment, and then you have to market the garment, and then it goes to market, right? Mm-hmm. So you need that capital to be working for you, because you're putting out a whole lot of money before you see anything back. Now, granted, once you have a product, right, you can kind of run it back and it's a little bit more quick turn, but it's still one of those things where you got to pay for the product often up front and you're not necessarily guaranteed that money coming back. So, but like O said, you know, raising capital, it kind of gives you an opportunity to make the investment in the personnel, right? Like you may have to go, I need to go hire a really good production person, which we went out and got, right? Because we saw that was a gap, right? All right, he's got these amazing ideas, but it's not making its way to the closet, right? And he's frustrated. So it's like, all right, let's work through this. And some people, you know, again, that wasn't working out, so still keep trying. And now we have someone like the product is something that we're excited about and can stand by, just the quality of it. And so that was an investment that we had to make on the front end. And we made that investment, April? Mm-hmm. And we're now just now, that product is just now delivering and hitting mm-hmm. shelves.
Yeah. How much? When did you raise?
So we raised, we just closed the round. We just closed the round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is your first round?
No. So we've done two safe rounds.
What's a safe?
Safe round? Note.
What's a safe?
So basically, what a safe note allows you to do is very, is founder friendly, essentially. So within raising on a safe round, you can project your cap. It's not where you are immediately right now, right? So just for small numbers, you can say, hey, I'm going to raise, and right now the company may be only valued at $100,000, but you can raise at $1 million. Mm, and yep. Now you still need to hit those numbers, right? When that safe converts into a note, then you need to be at what you said you were going to be at, but it's more kind of futuristic and it's very, you know, founder friendly. And I think it came out actually Y Combinator
as well. For sure.
So how much did you guys raise?
We raised a few dollars.
Well, so it's like, all right, so, what was your, did you need to raise money or was it you needed to raise
money?
And on top of raising the money, I mean, we made mistakes. You know what I'm saying?
Like, raising money?
No. Well, no, I wouldn't say raising
money. Without having money.
Yeah, well, without having money, but really mistakes within making garments. You know what I'm saying? Some of the things didn't come out right. We never came out with those pieces.
Like the quality.
Yeah, the quality or the lettering or the embroidery. I mean, something being wrong, we have to be able to cover that. But on the back end, that's where we go get somebody that we feel comfortable with that can actually do the job. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times, you know, people make mistakes. That just that's the nature of the beast, you know? But if you have people that believe in you, I mean, speaking on even investors, I mean, they introduce us to even more investors that believe in us. They tell the story. But then they even say, yeah, these guys made, you know, a couple little twinges there. They could have did this and did that. But this is what they're doing ultimately, and this is where they're going. So, I mean, even though the mistakes have happened, that's why we do raise, because we see where it can go and the investors see where.
Because it's like, it's just, all right, even if we're making money, in order to grow, you got to like go, it's like a building, right? So it's like, all right, I may have be making money off 5 apartments, but in order to go get another apartment building, because this is working, I got to go get capital to go acquire that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's the same sort of thing where it's just like, we want to grow. So it's like, all right, we need to get larger numbers. So like, even now, the risk is just higher. So like, now, when to that point, our orders are larger, so we have the cash flow to send someone to China where it's being produced, or the factory midway, right? So we went from getting 500 t-shirts to 5,000 t-shirts, right? So now we can't afford to just take a hit on 5,000 t-shirts.
Can't make a mistake.
So midway, you got to go out there and see it. Like, okay, how is it coming? What's the process?
You QC it.
You know what I mean? Midway, because if you QC it when it's, you know, when it hits your house, your warehouse, it's too late because it takes that window of time for it to get done. So those are kind of like the little things that we're learning that have to be in place as you're building, you know, this brand.
When you have the safe notes, is there a duration of time that you have to have it in? So if I'm making $100,000 and I say I can get to 1,000,000, do I have to do it within a certain time frame, 2 year, 3 year?
Yeah. I think it's like mutually agreed upon between you and the investor. But yeah, mm-hmm. It's a mutually agreed upon note that you would do when you mature. But I mean, we plan on doing the Series A for sure. Mm-hmm. I would say probably in the next 12 to 18, 14 months, something like that, you know. Because then, again, it's just about growth, right? Like he said, like, you want to go do a women's line, you got to go invest in a whole new host of people. New space in the office, more space in the warehouse, mm-hmm. New things on a website, apps, like all different type of things that go into that demographic. And there's so much more we want to do, you know, just as a brand, you know, because it's a brand. It's not just a singular sweater or a t-shirt. It's a brand. So as we want to do all of these things, it definitely takes investment.
Mm-hmm.
So you, like, one of the things about getting investment is that the money actually helps, obviously, but relationships and insight for the investor that's not owners in a company. So it's like you said, Steve Style, you do monthly calls with him. So were you strategic in picking the people that were investors for people that you thought could add insight and help outside of just providing money?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even some of our partnerships have come from investors, you know, like major partners. I mean, even talking with like CAA, I mean, that came from an investor, you know. They bring so many different elements to the business because of their backgrounds, their history in just investing in general. I mean, they have so much experience that they can see sometime. They want to introduce us to certain companies that have never been in the Gulf and that might want to be in the Gulf, but they're willing to spend that money now. You know, like, if they really want to make that big push because golf is hot right now and that's the lane that they want to run, then all of a sudden they make the introduction and they let us run with the business or let us run with the partnership. And then we see where it can go from there. But that all comes from investors. I mean, even where are we spending our money? You know, we might have a monthly call with our accountant, but then also one of the investors might be on there and ask, yo, well, why don't you, have you ever thought about spending your money here or pushing it here? And, you know, I mean, it's all different ways of thinking about it, but, you know, more than two heads is better than, you know.
And a lot of them have gone where we want to go, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like they understand, and a lot of it is, I would say, cultural. Mm-hmm. Like these folks understand it because I would say the golf world are kind of like late adopters to Eastside. Like we came in the game with Chris Paul, right? Like we didn't come in the game with, you know, quote unquote, you know, a professional golfer. And so we continue to be authenticated by non quote unquote golfers, mm-hmm. but that's the beauty. So they see it early. They like, oh no, I know exactly what this is. I know exactly what you guys are doing, similar to what you guys are doing, right? Like it may not be a major media network that would get behind you. It might be someone in the culture like, oh, I've seen this before. Yeah. You know what I mean? In a traditional media, they're like, oh, I don't understand. I don't get it. But then now they do. Clearly, if you go to InvestFest.
Yeah, that thing. InvestFest. Yeah. I want to talk about the brand partnerships
mm-hmm.
and how strategic you are about them. Obviously, we know that the Nike and Brand Jordan partnership, you talked about the NBA. Let's talk about Mercedes
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
this is something that was kind of new. We actually had a phone call
as it was happening. Yeah, 100%.
So I was like, yo, I got this opportunity for you guys with this other company. And you're like, yo, oh, listen to what Troy's saying. You're not going to believe it. So talk about how that came to be.
Nah, so, I mean, we both, you know, a good friend of ours reached out and was like, oh, you know, who y'all with? Like, what's your automobile partner? And it was an all-star out in Utah. And he's like, hey, you know, he has some ties into Mercedes. His wife actually is the first or the only female African-American woman that owns a Mercedes-Benz dealership. And he actually went to Morehouse as well. He's a dentist, Dr. Tony Hall, and his wife is Janelle Ross. And reached out, was like, hey, I don't know who y'all with. Y'all should be with Mercedes. Just kind of hold off. And we was talking to a whole nother brand at that time. And then things started to develop. And then as it went on, got a relationship with.
Yeah, well, went down to Waste Management, got introduced to Erica Bolden, you know, Monique as well, Monique Harrison. And I mean, all of those relationships actually, well, the Masters came around. Of course, the Masters, mm-hmm. Augusta National. And the mayor of Atlanta, Andre Dickens, went down to Augusta National and had a meeting with Mercedes-Benz. Now, me and him have a great relationship. And he went into the meeting with all Eastside on. He walks in and they both sit and they're just like, yo, what do you know about Eastside? And he got really hype and said, had nothing but positive things to say about me and Earl and the business. And then from there, they were just like, yo, we've heard about Eastside probably and seen it maybe 5, 6, 7 times in the past 2 weeks. Just like, it has to be something that's going on. We gotta meet these guys.
Yeah.
And then from there, we had one meeting with them. A few meetings with them. And from there, you know, it only felt right to do a deal with Mercedes-Benz. And here we are. I mean, they're full-fledged. And, you know, anything and everything that we believe in, they believe in. You know, like,
what does a deal with Mercedes look like? They give you guys cars. You have to promote them on social media. Like, what does that have to?
They definitely give us cars.
That was very humble of you. Cars.
They give us cars, but it's crazy because they're helping us. We just donated $50,000 to the Morales golf team,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be donating another $50,000.
Yeah, on our behalf. So
on our behalf.
And so it's like a three part, you know, deal. So we got like a B2B, which is, you know, business to business. And so from the B2B, they're supporting a lot of our initiatives, and we're going to be doing a lot of community stuff together and obviously giving back to Morehouses, you know, that's close to us, but it's going to continue, right? There's a lot of different elements that we have. There's a Sprinter vehicle that's donated to the golf team, and there's a lot to come out in 2024, like he said, that's really behind us. We will, you know, we come on as official ambassadors as well, which is amazing. You know what I mean? That's something that I don't think either one of us ever thought when getting started we would be. And then we got collaborative clothing that'll be coming out, you know, so we can use the star. So it's a very comprehensive partnership that we're super excited about, you know, to be working with them. And they really have leaned in. And I think the biggest thing that him and I learned, like you said, you know, our first car partnership was through an agency, right? And it really wasn't what we thought it was going to be, right? It was just like a media buy. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? But we had to learn because we were frustrated because you thinking, oh, it's with X brand and now that means you got this and you got that. It's almost like somebody, honestly, you know, signing with Jordan that you think you're going to get every pair of Jordans and it doesn't, or just because you did a collab that you're going to get every pair of Jordan and it doesn't work that way. So we had to kind of learn, and I think that's why we were able to bring that to the table and really take our time with this partnership. But I definitely do credit the folks over at Mercedes-Benz because O and I, we went in there, we met with them, and it was probably the one of the few times that we were actually, like, stumped. Like, they were like, yo, put money aside, put golf aside. What can we do with the community? And what is the only thing that y'all can do with us?
Mm. Did not know how to answer that question at the time.
We were like, we'll get back to you.
From there, it was, I mean, we just kept it going. From there, I mean, they believe in a lot of the initiatives that we have. And I mean, from now on, you know, well, for the next few years, hopefully from now on.
He's there from now on.
Lifetime deals.
Yeah, right. It is. I'm calling it now. He's feeling good. But, you know, we definitely got the whips on the way.
Yeah.
The whips is, you know. Like, I think, you know, y'all saw it. We had the... We had the golf ball joint.
Mm-hmm.
Invest
East Coast,
Fest.
East Coast, West Coast.
And then the West Coast, we had the script joint, the G-Wagon at A16.
This is true.
So, you know, it's only right. They say, look, if we're going to be stepping out of a car, it's going to have that star on it.
Why not have a Mercedes?
So, I mean, by the way, you have a Mercedes too. Let that just go under the.
I had to pay for mine.
Oh, hey, well, we still appreciate that. You're part of the family, though.
Unfortunately,
Mercedes would.
They're going to be watching now, though.
I hope so.
Who are worthy of having a conversation. So. Hi, Mercedes.
I hope so.
I own three of them. We own three. By the way, disruption is what I hear, right? Even inside of infrastructure like Mercedes, this is something that they've never done. What you guys are doing inside of golf is disruptive. 1961, that's disruptive. I wonder, from a PGA standpoint, have you guys spoken to LIV Golf? Because that's disruption inside of the golf world. Have you been approached by them and maybe some of their golfers to incorporate Eastside into not only PGA, but now having, you know, where golf is played. I mean, this is a part of the world now.
Yeah. I mean, we've definitely been approached by some players on the LIV Golf Tour. As far as the Prince of Saudi, he knows who Eastside Golf is.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. But as far as, us pushing and just trying to figure out where the brand is going, we're still kind of new. You know what I'm saying? So we're just still trying to find our ground, where we're going, and truly who's going to be good partners for us, you know? So, I mean, it's just a work in progress at the end of the
day. Yeah, and I mean, to that, like, I think one of the things, our principle that we try to abide by now because of the stage of the brand, and I'm sure you guys can relate, is, like, we want long-term, comprehensive partnerships. We don't want like some 90-day thing, because it's like we have a community, we have a following. So what does it look like, you know, us in this card and that card, or what this brand, that brand, doesn't necessarily have to be whatever. So we've been very intentional when it comes to that. And we've talked to everybody, like in the golf space, like we're definitely open to having conversations. But as time goes on, it's a little bit harder to get these deals done because we understand the value that we bring to the table. We also understand the value that they're going to get when we, you know what I mean, when we do this. So it just has to be right for us. It has to remain authentic. You know what I mean? The last thing we can do is like, oh, they sold out or whatever it may be. And not necessarily worried about the term selling out, but it's just like we don't want to sell ourselves short either.
So you talked about LIV. Where does that stand with the PGA? Because I know they were supposed to merge, then it got put on hold.
Well,
like Congress was meeting about it.
Yeah. Right? Well, because the PGA Tour is a nonprofit, right? So they have this special tax exemption. And so with that special tax exemption, in order for this type of merger to happen and remain tax exempt, it has to be approved by Congress. And so there's a lot of different things that go into that, right? Because now you got governments involved, you have the Saudis involved. And so it was, and then the way that it all kind of played out too, you know, it was a lot of don't go over there. Now they're going to get together. And then so a lot of, you know, it was public. A lot of the players felt like, yo, they, you know, people were lying. They weren't honest about it. So right now they have a memo, like a term sheet on the merger, but it hasn't officially been signed. But to your point, because it has to be approved by the, you know, Congress, by the U.S. government for this merger to happen if they want to remain and have their tax exempt status. So, and that's a big, you know, that's why they get a lot of those corporations that get behind these events and sponsor them, because it's, you're giving to, you know, you can write it off. So all those title sponsors for PGA Tours, they write that stuff off.
And why are they tax exempt?
I don't know the history on why they are. I mean, it's like, you know, it's kind of like how a lot of these different sport leagues, they have these different type of exemptions, whether it be, you know, the NFL. I don't know the details of the NBA, but I'm sure there could be something where, like, you know, these leagues fall under these exemptions. They have strong lobbyists, you know, and they support certain things, and it allows them to kind of remain because I think the economic impact that it has, you know, overall.
Good information there. So I wonder, is there's more disruption to come? Are there brands specifically that you see on the landscape that you guys are like, you know what, that would make sense for us to work with or collab with?
Yeah, I mean, there definitely are other brands that we do want to work with. You know, I would say usually they're going to be outside of the golf space, you know, because that's our focus. Yeah. Is the only way to build this game a golf is to go as far away from it as possible. Yes. And then bring those people back to the game and show them what they're missing. You know, sell them something that's fashionable, that's culture oriented, you know, something that they can get behind. That's the only way you can truly grow this game. So, I mean, we want to, you know, we want to collab with so many brands that just have a different way of thinking, or that's just been in the game for a long time, that want to get into golf, but just would, you know, that culture would never expect. Right. You know, really putting a twist on a game and really expanding it to a space where it just looks different at the end of the day.
Yeah. Right. So I feel like there's similarities and kind of, and it's the reason why we show up in the same room. Right. Why? Yeah. Why are the golf guys at Fashion Week in Paris?
Right. Right.
Why are the golf guys sitting courtside?
Right.
At the NBA game.
Earl.
Exactly.
Why? I mean, I ain't want them.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Right. But
I'm modeling.
That's the intentionality. We want to show up because we want to be as widespread as possible when it comes to the demographic we're trying to attract.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. And continue to take that conversation. Same thing you guys are doing, you know, with financial literacy, right? Where it's like the information that you guys are giving, we want to be able to do that. And I think it's just so many different perspectives that we're basically fighting against, right? Like, we literally have this uphill battle of these perceptions that everybody has of golf. And so when they see us, it kind of, it's like, oh, I've never seen it like that. And then when you consistently see us, you're like, oh, wow. Like, no, that really is a thing. It's not just a fad. They weren't just doing this to start, you know, to be cool because of the trend. It's like, nah, they really are doing this. But as you saw at the A16 event, he can really play golf. You know what I'm saying? It's not like
he's the pro.
Yeah, exactly. And teaching, you know what I mean? You was out there doing your thing, man. I saw you. That was the only one on camera, so that's the only I could go off of.
Yes.
It's on the record.
It's on the record.
Let the record reflect.
Yeah.
So you guys, all right, so you have the collaboration with Jordan, but the merch is still independent, right?
Yes.
So has there been talks of Nike collaborating with merch with you guys?
Well, so our last collaboration with shoes, the Red Clay collection, we did do a collaboration with Jordan Brand on apparel, you know, but moving forward, even with these shoes, we came out with our own collection, like this varsity jacket, like these sweatpants, and just put the word change on it, you know? So it's something that can be bought straight from us that goes with the shoes perfectly.
But it's still—
yeah, it's independent.
It's independent from Nike and Jordan Brand.
What's the percentage of, like, the business as far as, like, the sneakers up versus apparel?
I mean, our core is apparel. We're an apparel company, right? So, obviously, the sneakers help, you know what I mean? But the quantities aren't that large, right? That's why they're also, like, heavily coveted, because there's not, you know, millions of shoes being produced, because it still falls in, like, the golf realm. And it's still, you know, in the world of Nike, golf is still, you know, a very small line item, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not overwhelming. I mean, we still are apparel. That's
so the sneakers are more so like just to really create that buzz.
Yeah, energy. Yeah.
And the apparel is what's driving it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, I mean, when we come up with sneakers, being prepared for that moment.
Yes.
You know, being strategic about that, like lining up interviews and even having this apparel to where we have like our holiday collection and anything else that we really want to get out there. I mean, this is a hot time to talk about it. This is a hot time to get in front of just the right people so we can expand the brand and really skyrocket into, you never know, another demographic of some sort.
Yeah. Right. And then I think it's learning too, right? Like we've had the privilege to work with amazing brands, right? We have a docuseries on Hulu, you know, and working with them.
Congrats on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Go check it out. Grail's still streaming. We've worked with Jordan Brand, Mercedes. And like, that's one of the things that we've learned. Like we take nuggets and being in these rooms, right? Like we're not just in the room like, all right, this is what we want to do. We're watching how they treat their brand, how protective they are of their brand, and why they chose to do it with us, and why what specifically do they want to do with us? Because that's the power, right? And so I think as we're transitioning, like he said, we are an apparel brand and we're very protective of our product and we're very proud of it. So if you see us partner with anybody with apparel, it's gotta be right. It can't just be, you know, something that we're just doing just because. And that's why they work with us. But I think, again, we're very protective of the apparel.
Yeah, definitely go check out Grails. We were at the premiere for that.
Yeah, yeah, appreciate y'all pulling up.
Yeah, I ended up in the elevator with Hannah Storm. Yeah. Which is crap, I'm a huge Notre Dame fan.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes.
So sure. Grew up watching her, and she's in the elevator talking about how important you guys are.
Yeah, yeah.
Hannah produces. Shout out to her. Pekka's produced it. And then Steve Bartles.
Yeah, yeah.
Two EP, three EPs on there.
We went to the CLF. Shout out to them, yes. AC16Z. Mm-hmm. You are the pro. And when we first met you, being a pro was still something that you were actively pursuing. Talk about the status of that. And I know you guys were starting to sign athletes as well. So talk about how that's been going.
Yeah. So I'm still going after it. You know, I plan on turning back pro next year. We will have a pro tournament next year to where I'll be playing in it. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, we're sponsoring the actual purse as well. So I have a chance to win the money that I put in.
This is really beat the pro.
Yeah,
right. Pro. Right. All y'all got to beat me.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's definitely still a dream of mine. I mean, that's why we're here. You know, at the end of the day, I wanted to pursue my dreams to become a professional golfer. And that's where the company was originated. You know, so now being able to afford that, we just got to build the team more. I mean, the design team has to grow. The day-to-day team has to grow. So then I can allot that time to actually go out there and practice and then have that time to go to tournaments. And I mean, some of these tournaments, 2, 3, 4 days. I mean, I even have an opportunity to go to Japan, play on the Japan tour. Japan Q School Pro Tour. And that's about 4 months. You know, but how can I do that if the company is
yeah, not we need you.
Where it needs
me? I'll be but back.
We need yeah. you.
I'll be going to November.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, but I definitely just giving myself that chance. That's where I'm at. But now, I mean, I see how important that is. But giving that chance to somebody else, that's why we did sign 3 athletes. Actually,
yeah. mm-hmm.
2 of them, Michael Herrera. He's a professional golfer. He's doing very well this year. Wyatt Worthington, another professional golfer. Both of them have played on PGA Tour events and also an NIL deal with a young kid, Matthew Vitale, goes to Temple University. So,
yeah.
I mean, all of these guys have great game. He just won the Pennsylvania Amateur
yeah.
as well, yep. Matthew Vitale. So, yep. I mean, we got quality players. We got quality product. But, I mean, all in all, we're just about pushing the game forward for professionals. But then on top of that, it coming from us, it's just a different perspective. Like they would have never thought we've had a signed golfer. So
yeah, y'all just had your first invitational.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. It was amazing.
There was one thing that was missing. Guys. It was crazy. I'll be honest with you.
What? I believe it.
Earn your leisure.
Yes, it was, man. We thought y'all was going to be Abu Dhabi, but, you know,
that's also going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we definitely. No, it was great. Y'all invited. Dates coming soon. It's going to be close. I'll just say it like that. But no, this year was incredible. One of the things that, you know, when we first started the brand, it was always that question of like, when y'all going to do a golf tournament? When y'all going to do a golf tournament? Because that's like the low hanging fruit. And we never really been those guys, dude. I can remember all the time, even in the beginning, when it was just like me and I would show him something. He'd be like, bro, that's easy. Like, everybody doing that. Let's figure it out. That ain't it. Let's go somewhere else. And so it was the perfect timing. And, you know, again, shout out to Mercedes being our presenting sponsor to really being able to be a part of that. And so we could elevate it, everybody getting picked up in Maybachs, GLS, the whole Sprinter vans. But the beautiful thing about the event was the fact that we chose San Diego because in 1952, that's when Joe Louis played in a PGA Tour event as the first African-American and breaking that color barrier. So that's why we chose the city. And then we were fortunate enough to bring out the entire Morehouse College golf team and the AD and present them with a $50,000 check. And so everyone walked away from the experience like, wow, I'm ready to come back for next year. Yep. And seeing the kids and the moments and the smiles. Like, we just posted something on our Instagram and like literally you could see it in the face. Like, everyone's smiling, teeth out. Like, it was a special, special moment. And so we're excited to recreate that, you know, for years moving forward. And we're going to continue to uplift, you know, the Morehouse College golf team. Like we like to say, man, we trying to Deion Sanders them boys. We trying to have that prime time effect. So
facts.
So what was let's talk about the docuseries.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through that. Like, what's
I forgot
process?
We haven't been on here since then.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, we see all the time, so it's weird. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm like, why would I talk about that? But yeah, we haven't been. You wanna?
Yeah. I mean, well, it definitely first starts off as me talking about the logo because I am the logo. But I want to turn pro in golf. And I couldn't find any sponsors, so it was like, why not start a business and sponsor myself, take the entrepreneur route? I was tired of being told no, and I wanted to turn pro. So one thing led to another. Eastside Golf was born. Of course, you know, I'm from East Atlanta, grew up in East Atlanta playing golf. But that transition to how the clothes look, you know, and how we carry ourselves, but then now it's just another wave. But we showed all of that during the docuseries. So then we showed our first pair of fours that you guys saw. And it was only a few hundred pairs actually made. So from there, and we showed the next set of five shoes called the Red Clay Collection. I designed that Red Clay Collection for me being from the South. You know what I'm saying? I used to take the bus to the actual golf course. And by the time I get to the Marta bus stop, it's red clay mud all over my shoes. But it showed grit, determination, hard work that I was here to get it out the mud. But that's where those shoes and that collaboration, well, the name of that collaboration came from. But I mean, the entire docuseries shows our trail from literally that. The first coming out with the logo all the way through going up to Nike headquarters and showing that meeting and showing the first time we saw the shoes. You know, I mean, it's an incredible moment. It looked like I was about to cry, honestly. I mean, I looked at it the other day. I was like, wow. Like, I mean, it's just, I'm just so grateful. I mean, we look so grateful. And just to have the opportunity to show that so many more people can show how far their dreams and how far their actually company can go just through really pushing that and working hard.
Yeah, and I would add to that, it's like, it's golf too, right? So it's different, right? Like, we're doing this, you got two young Black men doing this in golf, right? And to have that documented was special. I will say it's kind of funny now we look back on it. Like, it was one of them things where we really, when truth be told, when it first kind of came to us, we really didn't even want to do it. And I say that because it was just more like we were just so locked in on the work. Like, it was we looked at it almost like a distracting, like coming here, sit down in front of these cameras. You're like, man, there's so much work to do. We don't have time to do this. But it was one of those things that we worked through it and we're able to, you know, kind of see, okay, when it all came together, you're like, oh, because the way a documentary is shot, anybody knows, it's very choppy. It's not like how you see on TV. It's like film for a day, then you might not film for three.
Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Months and then come back and all, we got to stage this moment or that moment. And we had a lot of footage too that we had been, you know, taping, which I will say he can attest to this. He's on me all the time, and that's why we have two photographers with us right now. film everything. It is difficult because you still kind of want to have a level of privacy, and you want to be able to just focus on the business, because it takes a while for people to get comfortable in front of cameras. Like, we're comfortable in front of cameras because we're in front of it all the time. But you can tell when somebody's like acting or doing something different. It's like, bro, don't worry about that. So that was more why we didn't like the cameras, because it was like, you bring the camera into a work session, it's going to be very unproductive because most people that work with us aren't used to cameras all around them. The docuseries is amazing. The 6 episodes, it definitely gives you an insight on, you know, the brand, who we are, and where we're going. So it was special. It's called Grails. Go check it out.
Yeah, you spoke about the $50,000 going to Morehouse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this prior. You know, there was this post that, you know, Howard University, you know that school, right?
Yeah.
You know, they have one of the top ranked HBCU golf programs. But it talked because of the sponsorship that Steph Curry brought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in sponsoring the golf team, even though it's a night school, he took over the golf program.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this happen with Dion in Jackson State when we talked about these programs, and these HBCUs need endowment. They need, you know, the alumni to come back and boosters to give back to their schools. Mm-hmm. Talk about the importance of it, obviously what you're doing with Morehouse, but what we can see happen is a Jackson State can thrive, and yes. we can see Howard becoming the number one golf program. Talk about the importance of giving back to these schools.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important. That's where me and Earl met at. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you want to see more Olajuwon's neurals, this is where you give back to.
Yeah.
You know, golfers are a little bit different of athletes. A lot of them, I think they have the highest GPA on average out of all sports.
They took y'all grades into account?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now, Morehouse Golf Team does have the highest GPA.
By the way.
Highest GPA in their conference. Hopefully in all HBCUs. But at the end of the day, it's about we know what golf can do for so many people, but just imagine what it can do for some college students. You know, like now they can be around entrepreneurs, doctors, lawyers, people that run businesses. So whatever their major is, now they have an actual tool that can get them around the people that can actually get them a job after college. If they don't want to turn pro in golf, that's cool. You know, but now use the game of golf to further yourself. You know, use the game of golf or get back into the actual game and change it. You know, from, you know, if you're a marketing major, you know, now try to get a job with the PGA or, you know, PGA Tour. Hopefully we can work with them and now show them a different way of showing golf. Mm-hmm. But it's coming from a different perspective. People that have never gotten a chance to get into that section of sport, you know, people that have never really, it's just never been shown in a light that really gets us captivated. At the end of the day,
I'm a little bit unaware, but how much is needed for a golf program? I would obviously the clubs, but are they planning to get into the tournaments? Travel, yeah, no. Like what would be
travel
needed?
Scholarship? I mean, it's a couple hundred thousand a year on an annual budget. You know, between scholarships, you got hotels, you got food. You got uniforms that could be given within the conference. But again, all those little things, you got golf balls. Like there's a lot of these little things. And then typically you meant to pay for the golf course as well. If it's not donated, there could be a fee for you to get out there. And then you got a head coach that needs to get paid. And then some people have head coach, assistant coaches, trainers, all that sort of thing. You know, so it's not a thing where it's a multi-million dollar annual budget, but for an HBCU, a couple hundred thousand can go a long way and they may see they want to put that revenue somewhere else. But I also want to go back to what you were saying, because I think for me, the importance of giving back to HBCUs and golf and us particularly, like I grew up in Wilmington, Delaware, and it really wasn't a lot of, you know, it's like a majority white town and state. And so you talk about golf, that's how golf is. And so for me going down to Morehouse in Atlanta and meeting him and the rest of our team members, I'm like, yo, I've never been, it's like playing golf with y'all. I was like, whoa, like this is amazing. And so oftentimes for us to create an opportunity for that young black kid out there or that young minority kid out there to come to another place that he can continue to flourish in golf and not feel like he's a second class because they don't have this, they don't have that. We're going to want to provide all of the quality resources you need, and you can still be in an environment with people that look like you and feel comfortable with the things you want to talk about. You know, that goes a long way, because typically in your golf journey, you're going to be face it around white folks. It's just the nature of the demographic of the, so you have to be comfortable in that, but to have that ability to be around people that look like you, because he'll tell you, that was the first thing that blew my mind. Mm-hmm. Like going to Atlanta and seeing all them brothers play golf, I'm like, I never saw that. And that's so, to create an environment like that, I think HBCU golf is very, very important for their journey, because it allows you to just, again, identify who you are and gives you that small little 4-year window to be like, man, I'm playing with people that look like me.
That's fine.
Can you speak about endowment?
Yeah. As far as like, you know, for us, so we definitely plan on endowing the Morehouse College golf team and following the, you know, the path of Steph. I mean, I've heard, you know, we probably need to raise anywhere from, I'd say, about $6 million to really get it going, to where you would invest majority of those funds, and then the investments can kind of kick off on an annual basis on what you need to, you know, spend. And then you have like certain events that you would do. So like the Eastside Golf Invitational clearly becomes a benefactor event. Like Steph does one in Pebble Beach every year. Mm-hmm. And then you may host a dinner and things of that nature just to continue. You know, we want to bring in other partners like Mercedes. They've been great. They're behind the team. And so as we continue to, he'll tell you, any corporate room we go in and people talk about charity, Morehouse College golf team.
So what is the main focus, the sport of golf or the fashion of, because I say that to say a lot of sports brands started as a sports brand, now has nothing to do with the sport at all. Polo.
Right.
Even like you see, like, you know, rugby's originally were for rugby players.
Right.
And nobody that's wearing rugby's these days or have in the last 20 years plays rugby. Right. Even, you know, basketball, I mean, it's still synonymous, but sneaker culture, nobody's playing basketball in Jordans.
Right.
Hardly ever.
Right.
These are things that are made, at this point, they're kind of made to not be in sports.
Mm-hmm.
They're made for fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened with soccer a lot. Mm-hmm. Variety of different sports. You see people wearing soccer jerseys, and soccer fashion has become a thing where people wear.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you have a lifestyle brand of clothes. And so do you see the fashion evolving to the point where it's not about golf?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's
go ahead. I'll go. but the special thing about Eastside Golf is that we can sell to pro shops and boutiques. You know, like, not a lot of golf, or if any, golf companies can be successful in a boutique, like Extra Butter or Bodega. I mean, we're selling head covers. I mean, you could pick up one of our head covers at Bodega. You know what I'm saying? And eventually pick up one of our golf bags at Bodega. You know, now you have a whole different demographic that's walking in there, that's being introduced to golf a totally different way, and don't have to go to your country club down the street in New York.
Do you know, or just roughly, like, a percentage of people that wear your apparel that actually play golf and people that are just wearing it?
I don't think we know the percentage, but I don't feel like I think we have a lot of non-golfers wear it, and that's what we're excited about. And I mean, I think, look, this shoe is a prime example, kind of what you're talking about. That is a golf shoe, but you can wear it off the golf course. And so it's like, our whole thought process is, if you can take the conversation of golf into where people are comfortable, it's like the same thing y'all doing with finance. Instead of saying, oh, you got to have a suit on, you got to be in this room, you got to be in a classroom setting or whatever it may be, having the ability to take that conversation where people can understand, that's what we're all about. And I think these shoes are a prime example of, you can wear them on the golf course, but you can wear them off the golf course.
Well, you've also, so you actually have golf, traditional golf apparel that's wearable off the, like the cardigans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And like the actual polo shirt.
Yes.
Like,
mm-hmm.
These are things that you can wear on the golf course. Mm-hmm. Which you can also wear as street fashion as well.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, it's and that's something that, you know,
are you the first brand to ever do that?
I don't know we're the first brand to ever do that. I would say that we are the first brand that has had culture involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you had the number one draft pick, his name from Orlando. He was wearing a cardigan, you know, started the season last year.
Pablo.
Wearing it down the tunnel. We're the first brand to do that, right? So you're not going to catch any other golf brand where folks are going to be wearing it down the tunnel. I guarantee you're going to see this varsity and other varsities that we have being worn down the tunnel.
Yeah, I'm not going to see Callaway or Ping.
Right.
We're going to see Eastside Golf.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Do y'all, in terms of putting it inside of the stores, are y'all fighting for shelf space? Like, is it specifically, like, I want the clothes to be here, whereas if certain brands are sold, they're going to put them at the front of the store.
Mm-hmm,
might put
mm-hmm.
y'all, does that get into the factor of where you put it and the locations as far as throughout the country where you're putting it at?
I mean, I think we're mindful of our partners, right? Anybody that has a wholesale account with Eastside Golf, we're extremely mindful, right? Where you don't want to cannibalize it, right? So a lot of these boutiques, they want exclusivity, right? In the street culture, you want to know, I go to X boutique, I can get it here, right? So we're mindful of the fact that, like, we may not have, if you're selling to this person in that city, you may not want to have four of the people in that city. Now, when it comes to, like, shelf space, I think for us, it's about the product. Because if it's in the back, then it's not moving. You know what I'm saying? Day one, we want to be good partners. So a lot of it is, like, the marketing, making people aware of it. Like, so we just actually did a deal with Paradis, who owns PGA Tour fan shops. So right now in the airport, you can find Eastside Golf in these PGA Tour fan shops. So in the airport in Memphis, What else is
Vegas?
Vegas, and Los I think Angeles. At Los Angeles, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the sell through is crazy right now, right? Like they're like moving. But again, this is kind of what O was saying. It's like you could be going to Los Angeles in the airport, popping in here like, oh, they got an Eastside Golf. Let me run over here and grab a tee real quick. But you're going into a golf store to go grab a tee real quick. You know what I'm saying? Or it's that's the beauty element of what we're trying to do. Because then when you go in there, you're a new customer. Now you might be like, I saw these dope golf shoes, or I saw this whatever that I could, you know, Troy might like this. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where it's opened us up to this whole new world. And that's what we're still excited about and passionate about, because we still see that upside of like, y'all are in it because y'all know us, the dope fashion, but wait till y'all get hooked on the game. And it's coming, because y'all see all these people around you playing. Mm-hmm. They loving it. And then even if you don't get hooked, it's just at least an opportunity, because you're seeing it more and more, I'm sure. Golf opportunities. So one of these days, y'all gonna get out there and really get with it.
Does the portfolio grow outside the merch to actual equipment, right? Do we see Eastside Golf clubs? Mm-hmm. Do we see the golf balls? Do we see the tees? Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't say equipment. Definitely, that's what collaborations, what we look forward to, you know, working with companies that we're not trying to reinvent the wheel with. Mm-hmm. That I mean, it costs a lot of money to make a golf club.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But actually owning a golf course, you know, actually making like an Eastside Golf club, that's something that hopefully is in our future.
Yeah, we'll entendre that.
100%. Now, it's definitely coming in. Yeah, so it's definitely expanding. We're always, but I think the beautiful thing about it is being very protective of the brand, right? So we're working with these amazing brands, and so we're very intentional, right? That's why I was saying we're protective of our clothing, because when we put that stamp on something, we want it to mean something. And so as long as that stamp stays strong, we can get into all of those things that you're talking about, right? Because our audience is so wide and vast. And even when you start talking about like a company and evaluation and a brand and reach, it's like, we're not just, you can't define us and find a comparable for our business and do it in the golf space, because we're bigger than golf, right? So somebody may say, oh, well, you know, there's other golf brands and they're valued at X millions of dollars. Well, I guess that's where y'all at. And we're like, no. No, we want Polo. We want, you know, Nike, Reebok. We want those type of numbers. That's, you know, that's what we're headed for. That's what we want to be compared to.
So your goal is to eventually buy a golf course?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Have you looked at it any yet?
Yeah. We're looking in Georgia right now, looking at about 4 different places. Definitely been working with Andre Dickens and also Mayor Bloom out in College Park in Atlanta, have great relationships with them. But then also it was something I had to do early on, was get, I would say, letters of references. I can't tell you who wrote those letters because it's confidential, but just saying these people would come out to the golf course and support it. These are high value people. These are people that we're around all the time. And I mean, just saying that these people will come out, at the end of the day, who's going to help the community the most? That's who's going to get the golf course, and that's who's going to push forward and make change. You know, that's what all of these different cities around Atlanta, around the nation, mm-hmm. are looking for.
Yeah, and I think that's a learning moment. So, like, a lot of people don't know that, like, a lot of golf courses are public parks, and they're owned by the municipality, right? And so when they're owned by the municipality, there's often RFPs that go out, and you get these different management contracts to go manage the golf course. Because a city has, they're like, hey, we need to sub this out. We don't need to manage it. Now, they're not necessarily even trying to make money on it, because, again, they're like, hey, if you're going to come in and make this attractive, it brings that economic impact. So they'll literally, for a dollar, you can manage this for a dollar a year for the next 4 or 5 years. Now, you need to have a plan, and there's management groups that go out all the time and bid for these municipality and city golf courses. And so, again, that's kind of where we were looking at, where we're putting together an attractive offer and saying, hey, you can trust this golf course in our hands. It's going to be well manicured. These are the type of people that are going to come out. But again, I encourage each and everyone that's listening to go find that municipal golf course in your neighborhood or in your surrounding area, because that's a public facility that you as a taxpayer have the right to go out and enjoy.
So technically, you there's a difference between that route and privately owned
yes.
clubs.
Yes, 100%.
Right? They own the privately ones, they own the land, they
yes.
charge membership fees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The public ones, a bit different.
Yes, big, mm-hmm. big difference. And then again, so like the public route, you could have it where it's almost like stock almost, right? Like you can buy in, like your initiation, you buy in at, it could be $100,000 to become a member here, right? Mm-hmm. As that value goes up, and if it's limited numbers of stock, you can sell it for more, or you can pass it down. That's what a lot of people don't understand too. A lot of these memberships are passed down, right? So you right now, y'all at Westchester Country Club, you could join Westchester Country Club. Let's say it costs you $100,000 to join Westchester Country Club. You then could be a member. Your son's a member. He rolls right into his junior membership. After him rolling into his junior membership, he now inherits your membership as a full-time member, and he doesn't have to pay that initiation fee. And that initiation fee could be worth $500,000 when it's time for him to become a member, just sheer off of inflation. Sure. And then the access that he has, right, as well now. So your son may not be like, I don't play golf. My dad got this membership at Westchester, but hey, let's have the meetings here. Hey, I want to have your grandkids having birthdays there, or conference, whatever it may be. Like, that's what people, the tennis, the beach club. Like, I was just in the Hamptons at this course called Maidstone, and I was blown away because the beach, I'm like, hold up, it's a beach? Like, imagine, you know what I mean? A dope beach on the other side of a golf course. And I'm like, oh, they have a beach club. And so it's just kind of one of them things where, like, and me and him talk about this stuff all the time where, we've been in golf so long, but we're still learning places that we ain't never been, and exclusive. And it's that world of golf. When you get into it, it's amazing. It's a very powerful world. It's a lot of money, wealth, and decision making that are going on. It's very Absolutely. Like a quiet society. Nobody's talking about our experiences. Like, nobody's coming back from the place that we go and coming to these type of platforms to talk to you about yeah. those facilities.
I saw you put it in your top five golf yes. courses you ever been on.
Yes, it was like that. Yeah. Man, it was I was blown away, man. Like, I was, he'll tell you, I was blown away. And then you got these homes that are like right on the water. Crazy. it's just like, man. And it's right there. It's for us. Like, we can have it, you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at it like, all right, well, I need to get my weight up so I can be out here at this beach club.
Put the plan together. So we talk about this a lot, and we try to get people interested in golf because we say a lot of business deals and a lot of business flow happens there. I wonder for you guys, how's that been for you, right? Like, you're in the world of golf. How many business deals are being negotiated for y'all through your travel yeah. on the course?
Everyone. Well, not all of them, but yeah.
Most of them. Yeah. I mean, even some of our partnerships, I just got hit up today, couldn't even make it because we're traveling, but they're inviting us out to go play golf just to, you know, talk, you know, where are you guys' heads? Like, what do you guys have coming up next? How can we be involved? Like, I mean, they're inviting us out to the nicest country clubs, trying to honestly sometimes earn our business, you know? I mean, this is how the game works. I mean, there are no gatekeepers. There are no people that say, I mean, you can't talk to this person. No, you can eventually talk to them. Just stay out there on the golf course. I mean, you'll eventually have that time to where you've been wanting that CEO's time, 5 minutes, a coffee or something like that. But you can actually get 5 hours of their time if you know how to play golf. You don't have to be good. Like Angie says, just keep up with the pace of play. Keep up with the pace of play.
No, that's right. I mean, I was recently planning this event. The Nexus Cup where I met Tiger Woods at, and I'm in the cart when it was my partner, and his last name is Rizzio, and he's like a partner at or runs the U.S. for Mizuho Bank. I'm not sure if you ever heard of Mizuho Bank, but I hadn't, right? And so I'm asking an inquisitive question like, oh, how much is under management? You know what I mean? He used a number I never even heard anyone use out their mouth. He said $2 trillion. I was just like, oh. Okay, so I'm sitting on a cart with a guy that's like top level at a bank, a global bank. It's based in Japan called Mizuho, and they manage $2 trillion. Like, they lend to like AT&T, like all these big Fortune 500 companies. Like, they do the lending to them. And so it wasn't like they automatically did our lending, right? That's not what I'm trying to say. But that's a relationship there, right? That if we do need to, or if it does make business sense, that you can kind of grow and develop. So it's never a thing where it's like an instant, oh, you go to the golf course, it's going to immediately mean that you get something, because then it becomes like very transactional. But it's like the people that you meet, the opportunity, the time you get to spend with them, you know, because I hear you talk about it all the time, it's relationships. One thing we talk about here is relationships. So being able to, again, nurture those relationships and getting to spend quality time with busy people is golf. It's a cheat code.
So, like, how do you see the future of golf? Because, you know, we have Top Golf, which has become very popular.
Yes.
And we see, like, a lot of hybrids of different sports that's taking place. We just had Rich Klein in here, and he was talking about lacrosse. We got, like, the street ball lacrosse thing going. So, golf is a sport that is still a time-consuming sport.
Yep.
And we live in a culture that really appreciates things that's fast-paced.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see like a hybrid, faster paced type miniature golf, Adam Sandler on steroids type thing happening potentially in the future? I mean, like I said, Top Golf is actually like that.
Yeah, no, it's booming.
It's
a billion dollar
like
business.
A driving range like of sorts. But yeah, do you see a world where extreme golf?
I don't know if you get extreme. They got this thing coming out top of the year called Tomorrow Golf League, where it's literally played in an arena. So you're going to hit into a simulator. And then when you get to a certain yardage, you actually hit a real shot. And so they built this arena from the ground up. You got Tiger Woods,
McIlroy. I was going to say, it sounds like Tigerston.
Yeah. So,
but it's so, I mean, it's so technology savvy.
Like virtual.
Like I heard, yeah, well, so yes, but then they have it to where the green can change elevations. And like, so under the turf, like you have this machine that makes it into this shape-shifting type of place to where it changes into a different hole every time you play it. You know what I'm saying? You just, I mean, it might only be like, I think 150 yards, but you're going to hit your first shot. The hole might be 500 yards. You're going to hit your first shot into a actual simulator. Then when you get 150 yards in, that's when you'll hit your real shot. But it changes and makeshifts every time when you get down to the 150 yards.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's happening now. Like you got that happening now. And then I think where it is headed though, is the culture is headed for golf, right? Like, and that's clear. And so I think you're going to see, I think one of the biggest things I think we'll see too is like the dress code really loosening up over the years, right? Because like at one point in time, like for the PGA Tour, you could not wear shorts. Like you had to wear pants.
Period.
And you still have to wear pants. I believe in the tournament, you could just wear shorts during the practice round now. So it's starting to like really loosen up. You're starting to have, you know, folks playing a little bit more music now, that sort of thing. That's always kind of been like a little taboo-ish, like don't play your music, don't play loud. So it's evolving. I think you're going to need a sport. You need that one athlete that just comes in and is just unapologetic and he's just that nice that can really move the needle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because like you got to understand too, man, like shout out to Tiger Woods because he brought that level of intensity. Like, remember, everybody was doing this. He was out there like fist pumping. Like that was his mantra. And people didn't really like that. Like that wasn't, you know, a thing that everyone was just like, oh, great. Tiger Woods, you fist pumping and excited and showing emotion. That wasn't something that, you know, we were ever, I know for me specifically, and I think we taught it, like you were trained not to be emotional. Yeah. Like you're trained to be like very like stoic, like focused. I'm thinking like a ninja type vibe, like a Zen-esque. Yeah. You know what I mean? And Tiger was someone that really came out there and just poured his emotions out, and you could see that. And that's what we could, you know, relate to. You know what I mean? We used to people getting upset. That's real.
Yeah.
Well, talk about showing up everywhere. You guys were at InvestFest this year.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Unbelievable.
I'm interested to hear your takeaway, and thank you for showing up.
Thanks for the invite.
Time we get to include y'all, especially because it's culture, right? It's bigger than business.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than financial literacy. It's about culture, and y'all definitely a part of it. So talk about your experience being part of the historic and legendary InvestFest.
No, it was, man. I mean, first off, thank you guys, man. No, it was definitely dope. That was the biggest crowd that I've ever spoken in front of. You know, we were on the Fidelity stage with Corey and Sarah over there. And I mean, we got to tell our point of view on what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, it was empowering because it was so many, of course, so many people in the room that looked like us and just so many diverse people that were just looking for, honestly, sometimes looking for guidance or a different way of thinking about things, you know, and just looking for that push, you know. So for them to look to us and for us to be up on that stage and I mean, I'm honored to give these people, you know, how I got to where I am. You know, I'm honored to tell them how relationships work and to how to be successful and to work within a company, work within a conglomerate that can push forward and be seen as something that is successful. Like, this, it's very hard to do at the end of the day. Of course, if you guys know, but at the end of the day, I mean, it was, I'm glad we got to do it because it showed just how connected that we were in pushing this game forward. That, but at the end of the day, that it wasn't about us. It's about how far can we take people within this game of golf and what they can actually use it for. So I'm glad we could, I'm glad we could show that.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was mind blowing, man. I walked in there and I told you, I mean, you know, y'all hear the numbers, right? It's like 20,000 people, get your tickets now. And literally, it might be 21,000. Like, I walked in that room, I'm like, yo. And it's crazy too, because, and kudos to you, man. You guys deserve your flowers because you really have created a moment. Like, we were staying at the Club Wyndham, and they have a rooftop, and it's literally right across from, like, that park. And I could see, it's like a sea of people, like, either walking, going, and I'm just like, wow. Like, y'all really have, like, created a culturally relevant moment. Like, people are like, are you going to Invest Fest? You got to be at Invest Fest. You got to be on stage. Like, it's a thing now, right? Like, you guys are converging all of this. And to see that, to be a part of it, it's been unbelievable for us. So, I mean, we, and again, you guys have the, you know, the wherewithal to be like, not just thinking, oh, it's a golf brand. I don't know if they can fit our demo, or, you know, because most people may not look at it that way. You know what I mean? Just off the surface, Eastside Golf, oh, we're only going to invite them to golf events. You know what I mean? But it's like, nah, you're like, no, they have a voice, they have a perspective. And so we appreciate y'all. But I was blown away and, you know, count us in for next year. Put our bid in now. You heard?
So what's up for you guys end of this year, 2024? What's on the vision board? What do you have plans?
Yeah, no, 24 is going to be a very packed year. We got, I mean, it's already kind of booked up, which is good. You know what I mean? We're excited about that. You know, we have a lot of events that we did last year. One of the biggest things is going to be our community day. So in the city of, we have four different cities that we'll be hitting this year. So last year we beta tested in Memphis. And the goal beyond around our community day is we want your first interaction on a golf course to have nothing to do with finances. So come out. Meet the founders of Eastside Golf, but also you'll get free tee times all day for folks to go play. We'll have lessons going if they're on the driving range. We'll have free food. And again, you get an opportunity to probably grab some of the gear, but you get an opportunity to meet people, connect, and you realize, oh, a bucket of balls may only be $10. Oh, they have rental sets in there for free that I can rent clubs or rent just one club. And if you don't, we want to leave rental clubs. So we're going to, we have a couple of them, the city of Augusta. We're going to Jacksonville. We're going back to Memphis. We're going to Detroit. And then the biggest one, you know, back to the crib at the A. So we got five community days that we're doing, you know, what Khaled say, still, you know, that's still, you know, that's
golfing.
Let's go golfing. We got the Invitational coming again. And we really, I think what I'm most excited about too is just the clothes, man. Like, the clothes is going to be, we really, the team really, you know, they did it. They did an amazing job in stepping that up. And we're going to be, you know, fashion shows, New York Fashion Week. We definitely going to be there strong this year. You know, we're still going to be out in Paris, but the show not going to be there yet.
Think y'all,
you know, already.
I don't think y'all going to leave.
That's just data research, man. What'd you say? We're beta testing.
Yeah.
Patty.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we got to stay close to y'all too. You know what I mean? We appreciate y'all. We're not going to let this moment. I don't know where we are in this interview, but, you know, last time we saw these guys, you know, was on the runway. You know what I'm saying? They like, yo, what's up?
Which runway?
The Clearport. I'm sorry. It was the Clearport, you know. Knocked out. I felt like, yo, everybody was talking and everybody.
Yeah, it just went.
And then we landed. Yeah, I'm like, man.
Yeah, it did.
Shout out to Culture Leadership Fund.
Shout out to the Culture Leadership Fund.
Hey, boy.
That was a good way to travel, man. For sure. We got to get this EY invitation off the ground, too.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. You already know we got you.
100%. Yes.
Connect the dots. Let's connect the dots.
Let's do it. Yes.
Well, gentlemen, always a pleasure. Let the people know where they can follow you guys, Instagram, website, all that good stuff.
Yeah, follow us on Eastside Golf on Instagram, on Twitter at Eastside Golf. Also, we have an app, Eastside Golf, and our website is eastsidegolf.com. So
yeah, go download that app. You know what I mean? It was actually trending at one point. It was on the app.
That was number 69.
On the top apps in the shopping category.
Yeah, and that's in the world.
You guys, brands like Zara, Nike, all of them on there. So it was special. And those are things that excite us. You know what I mean? That's like, man, like, you know, to compete in that space with those, you know, those major brands. But yeah, please go download that app. Stay up on everything, all of our latest drops, all of our latest pieces, a lot more coming.
Yeah.
Sure, man.
So, one last question. Are you looking to diversify the apparel? Like, I could see you guys doing, like, you know, like a Jeff Hamilton leather jacket, something like that with the Eastside Golf something like some iconic, like a Happy Gilmore collection or something like, you know, I'm just playing around. Like, that because right now it's been pretty consistent, right, with the logo.
Mm-hmm.
You have some other things, cardigan. I like the varsity jacket. Are you going to start playing around with the hype beats culture and getting a little spicy with it?
No, for sure. We got some.
You need something for Dykeman is what he's telling you.
y'all in bodega, but we can take y'all to the real bodega.
Look, I'm going to sit over here. I'm going to y'all. That's all over there.
So, at the end of the day, we have a couple of collaborations that's big coming out next year.
Okay.
That's going to really shake where golf has never been, you know, and even showing how it's to be worn on the golf course. But then, you know, seed it to y'all and show y'all how to wear it outside of the golf course. So, I mean, but definitely some pieces that are definitely hype beast-ish, you know what I'm saying? That speak to culture, speak to guys and women that are into sneakers, but then also love the game of golf. But here's the intersection. You know, we finally have the intersection, and I feel like it's at Eastside Golf, and it's going to show through these collaborations. You never know what type of jerseys you might see that have Eastside Golf on them. It might be hockey, baseball, basketball, football. You never know next year. So we just gotta stay tuned for sure.
Yeah. And then we in Japan, that's a big global market for us. And we got a store over there and it's booming. It's doing really well. We actually can't say the name, but we're going out to Hong Kong for an event.
Mm-hmm.
So excited about that. And that's the other thing, you know what I mean? Just taking the brand global. Right. And so sometimes, again, we can't go as fast as we want because the demand is so high. We want to be able to service that demand at the right time. And so super excited about just building a global brand, just you guys are. I mean, y'all traveling to Africa and, you know, London,
just trying to keep up.
Yeah, basically. That's all up. I'm getting at, man.
Just trying to keep up.
We salute you as two black men, three black men in Area Legion and all our staff to see black men leading together, right? Because y'all not doing this as a solo mission. Y'all actually working together. And it's something that I kind of emphasize when people look at us, right? Yes. They forget that he's an individual, I'm an individual. And we together all the time, right? But we have a common mission and a common vision. Mm-hmm. So to see y'all doing it, we salute y'all and applaud y'all. And we'll continue not only to support, but, you know, encourage y'all and make sure that, you know, we're repping the brand like it's ours.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. You had said, you got to say that caption one more time, because just hitting off what you said, it was something like, if y'all could work it out when y'all had nothing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Then there's no reason why you should break up when you have everything. That's a fact.
Facts.
That's a fact.
So
teamwork makes the dream work.
There it is.
Keep the band together. That's the
keep the band together.
And that's the same. Like every time I see Jimmy, shout out to Jim Jones. But every time I see Jim,
first thing he
said, say the same thing. Like, yo, make sure y'all stay together. You know, you learn from other people's mistakes. And
yep.
I'm sure that you know that Dip said that's one of my favorite Dips. Groups of all time. So it's like, you know, I don't know exactly what he means by that, but I'm assuming, you know, it would be better if they were still together.
Yep. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like ego, pride, different things. Different people have different, but it's like looking back on it, how you feel in the moment is not always how you're going to feel later on. It's like a relationship. Facts. You might say things and it's like, damn, I didn't really, it wasn't that serious.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I didn't mean to end my marriage over
there. Right.
So always keep the band together, man. So
keep the band together.
That's important.
We doing that, and we look up to y'all, right? Like y'all are an example of keeping the band together, and you know what I mean? We want to continue to be that example. But
so what's your, because people ask us that all the time, like, how do y'all deal with challenges? How do y'all deal with disagreements? How do y'all deal with issues? Like, how do y'all deal with issues to make sure that, you know, it's still a united front?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we trust each other. So if there's a question of something where we have two different visions or two different ways of looking at it, two different answers, totally different, we'll come together and we'll talk about it. But whoever's the most passionate and has the best reason for that question, I mean, that's usually the route that we run.
Is there a tie-breaking system?
Not really.
Not, yeah, I mean, it's passion, right? Like, yeah, it's more passion.
I think the passion is the tiebreaker.
Yeah, like,
whoever's more passionate.
Yeah.
100%.
Because it's not about being right. At the end of the day, for me, if he's right, literally, if he's right 100% of the time, then I've done my job as choosing the right partner. You know what I'm saying? That makes my job easier. Why? I mean, it's not about being right. This is about doing the right thing for our business and doing the right thing for culture and golf. So,
and I think, as we say, you got to work on the friendship too, right? Because we're friends. So it's like setting East. And we'll be talking. We'll be like, yo, I'm not talking to you as Eastside Golf. I'm talking to you as O, or I'm talking to you as Earl. I'm talking to you as your friend. Like, what's going on, man? How you doing? How's your family? Like, because it can get crazy and all you do is talk about the work and talk about the business. And it's like, that's what attracted us to each other. Not the work, not the business. This is my brother. Like, I remember supporting him. He supported me before all of this stuff. So it's like, to your point, now that we have everything, we don't want to, you know, lose that. But it is something that you do have to work on. And I would say for me, just in my personality, like, I had to learn to express myself, like, tell them, you know what I'm saying? And it could come middle of the night, middle of the morning. Sometimes you sleep on it, whatever it may be. And I'll just be like, yo, oh, I got to holler at you. I need 10 minutes. And then oftentimes I learn FaceTime is the best time to do it too, because text messages, you kind of add your tone to it. Mm-hmm. Somebody can send you like, where you at? And you can be like, you can read it like this, where the hell are you at? And it's like, bro, I'm lost. I'm looking for you.
Lost not, in translation.
Right. It's not that. So I'm like, I don't need to send it in text.
Yeah.
The tone, at least you do FaceTime, it's like you giving that person your undivided attention and you can kind of just get it off your chest. And I feel like, also for us, like, we let the guard down when you tell him, like, yo, something bothered me. Like, even at CLF, he said something like, yo, bro, I need to holler at you. Like, this bothered me. And I'm like, all right. Like, dope. I appreciate you telling me what bothered you because you're human. If something bothered me, he'd be like, yo. I'm like, yo, I don't like this. And we had one incident. One time we was, like, on a Zoom call.
This had to be 3 years ago.
A while ago.
Like, 3.5 years.
And we was, like, not on the same page.
And we start, arguing with other people.
It only happened once. What they say, like.
We got, the thing was, we got off the phone. We was like, bro, we can never do that again.
Yeah.
Like, it looked terrible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we haven't done it since. We just
united front. But
on the same page.
But, yeah, it is work. It is work because we both get busier, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's got more things going on. I got more things going on. But at the end of the day, it is us coming together. Like, we take that time to be like, yo, I got to holler at you. What's up? What's going on?
That's the story. That's it right there. Like, when people ask us, that's it. Like, there's going to be conversations that we're going to have that the world won't be privy to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's important. Yes, I think that's very important for people to know how to deal with each other in business. Because, you know, once again, you see a lot of people that break up.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
And I think, too, to your point, it's like letting other people get in your ear about, like, can't nobody tell me about him? We had this one incident, literally, And then I'll swear this is my last thing.
Nah, you got to say that point again.
Huh?
Say that first point. Nobody,
can't nobody tell me about him, something no, about him.
What I say all the time, like, right?
How you going to tell me that's my man? Like, I know him. You know what I'm saying? So one time I was talking to somebody about something. This person went to him and said, and misinterpreted what I said. The good thing is he comes directly to me and was like, yo, did you say such and such? And I'm like, nah. I'm like, but we're all still in the room. Let's all get together. And I looked him right in the eyes and I said, tell me word for word what I said to you. And again, and we said that too. It's like, that's how, in the sense, the band get broken up. Where if he internalizing it, because he's just only going off the information that he has. It's not he's beefing with me. Mm. He's just going off what somebody told him. But he was like, nah, I'm going to go to Earl. This bothers me. He was just coming to me like, this bothers me. Why would you say that? Yeah. And I'm like, that's not what I said. And then when we had the conversation, it was just like, but it was, again, it was a constant reminder of like, there are conversations that him and I will have that nobody even knows. It's even within our business, like in our company, people don't know, like, you talking to him is like talking to me and vice versa. Yeah. Like, he know what's going on, I know what's going on, and it's always going to be that way.
But it was like that before there was an Eastside Golf.
Right.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the part, like, that people forget. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah.
We won a national championship together.
Yes, sir.
You got to put that in there? I wonder if... Because you're from Delaware, man.
Yes, I am.
You're a Morehouse guy.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Shout out to your guy, too. I talked to him. He's running for Congress.
Eugene.
Yeah.
I gotta text him.
Yeah.
You know how you get a text from somebody and you see it, and like, I'm gonna respond. You don't respond. He's running for Congress.
Yes, he's running for Congress now.
Del State never been looking like, damn. How we ain't get Earl?
Oh man, shout out to Del State. I'm real close with the president. He's doing a great job over there, Dr. Tony Allen. You know, Delaware is my home. I love Delaware. I always try to get back as much as I can. Now that I got that Benz, you know, I can get down there a little bit quicker. You know, I don't gotta take the
Mike
Brzezinski. Shout out to Mike Brzezinski.
The turbo package.
Yeah.
Please.
Get down there a little faster, you know? But nah, it's crazy. I mean, he always be, you know, reminding me that I'm from Delaware. Like, you from Delaware? Ain't nobody think you would be here. This shit crazy.
Nah, shout out to the Hornets.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Delaware Hornets.
HBCU.
Shout out to Delaware, man.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Appreciate y'all.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.